Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, the Taoiseach has written to the Attorney General to seek clarity on whether Ireland can review current and future trade agreements between this country and Israel. Under existing rules, trade is an EU competency, meaning any wider changes in policy are a matter for the EU rather than an individual member state. Yesterday, during an interview on the News of One, the Taoiseach said it's a difficult time in the relationship between Israel and Ireland, but that the government is looking at the conflict in the Middle East through a lens of international humanitarian law. Let's take a listen now to some of what he said.
But I do believe the ICJ judgment is something the European Union cannot ignore. And some member states would be more sympathetic with the Irish position on this and the Spanish position on this. And they'd be for the discussions. And we, just as we did from the beginning of this war, people have moved their positions on other fronts and on other issues pertaining to this. And in my view, there is an inescapable logic to the follow through that is required on the ICJ's advisory opinion in respect of the illegal occupation of Palestinian territories. And I don't think that can be stonewalled anymore or any further. And it cannot be business as usual. And Ireland domestically will have to take that into account as well in terms of our relationship in respect of the illegal occupation. And essentially it means that we cannot engage in activities that could further that illegal occupation.
Separately, the Taoiseach has written to the Attorney General to seek clarity on whether Ireland can review current and future trade agreements between this country and Israel.
In light of the ICJ ruling this summer, I have written to the Attorney General to ask for fresh advice in relation to the broader issue of trade. Trade at an EU level, trade at an Irish level, where the competencies lie, and if anything has changed in relation to previous legal advice as a result of that ICJ ruling.
Well, for some further reaction now, we're joined by People Before Profit TD Richard Boyd-Barrett and Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher, and you're both very welcome to the programme. Billy, I might come to yourself first, and can you explain exactly what has changed in your view that has led to this action that we're hearing from both the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach?
Well, I think the reality is dawning on Ireland and on the rest of the international community that we can't have a situation whereby the European Union and its member states would have a preferential trade agreement with a country that is flouting international law, ignoring international law, has been cited by the International Criminal Court and now also the International Court of Justice. So it is about time that the European Union step up to the plate and sanction where necessary, or agreement with Israel, because we simply can't have a situation where we are now ignoring international law and the rulings of the international courts.
But what has changed from the Irish government's perspective? Why are we hearing this from the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach now? Because those ICJ judgments that they're talking about, and the one in relation to the illegal occupation, that came in mid-July. There was another one that came in May calling on Israel to halt its military activity. There was another one that was in January ordering immediate measures to protect Palestinians from the risk of genocide. We're at the end of August.
Yes, well, look, what's changing is we see the ever-unfolding massacres of civilians in Gaza. 40,000 civilians are dead. Mm. That's what's changing.
And most of those people had died, though, before July.
Yes,
before
but
July.
In fairness, Micheál Martin and the Irish government has been to the fore in pushing for recognition of Palestine as a state, support of the two-state solution. They have been raising these particular issues. But what we need now is at European level, at Commission level, to ensure that any trade agreements we have with Israel, any other preferential agreements we have with Israel, are unwound until such time as Israel
accepts
international
law. Okay, and I'll get on to the EU in just a second, but just to clarify just once more, because what we're hearing now is the Taoiseach has written to the Attorney General asking for updated legal advice on what Ireland can and can't do. My question is, why hasn't he done that before now? What has changed that he thinks would make that legal advice different to what it was in mid-July when we got that ruling, in May when we got a different ruling, in January when we got a different ruling?
Well, look, the legal advice from the Attorney General has been quoted for a long period of time around the issue of trade. I can remember when myself and Niall Collins sponsored the Occupied Territories Bill through the Dáil in 2018. The issue of trade competency being an EU competency was cited. I welcome the fact that the Irish government is now seeking new advice. And I suppose they're seeking the new advice on the fact that now it is clearly proven that Israel is flouting international law. It has been cited by two courts. So from that perspective, there may be the ability for the Attorney General to look at it through that prism rather than just through the competency of trade in in everyday life due to the fact this is extraordinary circumstances.
All right. Richard Boubert, what do you think of that?
Well, look, I think it's shameful that it has taken the massacre of 40,000 people. Some estimates are now putting it at far higher. Palestinians in Gaza and being killed in the West Bank in order for the Irish government to finally say what we and many others on the streets for the last 10 months have been appealing to them to do, to impose sanctions. And indeed, many of us have been saying for years that the Israel-European Union agreement should have been scrapped because Israel has been for years in breach, in egregious breach of the of that treaty, which requires that people who are getting Israel, in this case, favour trade status in the European Union, comply with all European, all international human rights, uphold democracy and so on, when they've been engaged in a brutal, murderous, illegal occupation for decades. And then we've seen actual genocidal actions over the last 10 months. And it's only, in my opinion, because of huge pressure on the streets and a government being demanded again and again to actually do something when they've done nothing, that they're now saying they're beginning to talk about some kind of sanctions. By the way,
well,
I don't...
the government did ask for an urgent review, Ireland and Spain, in February, which is very many months ago at this stage, that there is there would be an urgent review of the EU-Israel trade agreement.
But they're hiding behind this so-called European competency. To my mind, it's very clear when you actually look at the Israel-EU agreement that Ireland could and should impose unilateral sanctions and that they would be entirely entitled to do so because it is the European Union who are in dereliction of their legal responsibilities under that agreement.
What do you mean when you say to your mind? Because this is a legal issue. It's not, you know, in my opinion, it's whether it's legal
or not.
I think
if you read the Israel-EU agreement, if you read Article 29, I think it is, it's very clear that that agreement does not preclude sanctions being imposed if human lives are under threat or if there are egregious breaches of human rights. Now, to my mind, it is Europe who is in dereliction of their legal duty, and Ireland should have long before now acted unilaterally, imposed sanctions to break off relations with a regime committing genocide, and then put it up to the European Union to say, actually, it's Europe that is in breach of its legal obligations. We should probably be suing Europe for continuing to trade with a regime that is engaged
in
genocide.
Okay, so in your view, if the AG comes back and says this is still European competency, Ireland cannot act unilaterally, in your view, we should do so anyway.
Yes, because I think as I read the agreement, it's clear that we have the right to do that. And by the way, we have an obligation under the Genocide Convention, which does allow for and require unilateral action where genocide is plausibly taking place.
All right, Billy.
Yeah, well, look, it's not so long ago that we were being vilified for not supporting the nomination of Ursula von der Leyen as president of the Commission. The reason we didn't was we cited a number of issues. The Occupied Territories Bill, and the trade agreement, and the need for the European Commission to act collectively to ensure that you know, no preferential treatment was given to countries that are breaching international law. It is now patently obvious. The courts have cited it, the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Justice. We can see it every day unfolding our televisions, 40,000 people dead, and the European Union has done nothing.
Yeah,
and
but it is also patently obvious, isn't it, that there's not going to be agreement at a European level in relation to this anytime soon. So should Ireland do what is being suggested here by Richard Boubert and act unilaterally?
Well, Ireland should act with, obviously, within the law and within its treaties, but also Ireland must use its position as a well-respected member of the international community to highlight consistently and to ensure that as many countries within the Council put pressure on the Commission to address the issue of the fact that we're giving preferential treatment to a country that is patently, you know,
and would you share
Richard's
analysis of this, and indeed others in the opposition, I've heard them in the Dáil raise it over very many months, that it's quite clear that Ireland could do what it wants to do in relation to this?
Well, Ireland, as I said, should act within this, within the law and within its international treaty obligations. Well, I mean, look, that I looked at this very closely during the Occupied Territories Bill. You know, I certainly believe that in some circumstances, particularly around the areas of defence and military, you know, countries can act independently. But overall, I believe that the European Union must be the one that's held to account and forced to act to ensure that Israel does not have access to the largest single market, does not have visa preferential treatment, when at the same time their prime minister and their army and many other agents of the Israeli state are cited by international courts for breaches of international law and humanitarian law.
How could Ireland force the EU to act? We've no. I mean, it's nice to say, isn't it? But we've no power to do that.
No. Ireland is a member of the European Council. Mm-hmm. It can consistently raise the issue. It can highlight the issue. It has, in fairness, been very supportive and been supported by other countries with regard to the recognition of the two-state solution and Palestine as an independent sovereign state. And there is more and more countries beginning to realise that...
Oh, I don't know, Billy. Like I said to Richard there, Ireland and Spain asked for an urgent, in quotes, review of the Israel trade agreement
in February.
Nothing has happened.
I have detected over the last number of months even a change in position. And even when we were speaking out against Ursula von der Leyen's nomination, people privately said to me, that something had to be done, that we could no longer just sit on our hands and watch the Commission willfully ignore the plight of the Palestinian people and give preferential treatment at the same time to the Israeli state, which is occupying illegally and involved in probable genocide as cited by the International Criminal Court. We can't ignore these things. Simply can't ignore these things.
Just briefly, Richard, what do you think needs to happen next?
I think the government are still and have continuously hidden behind the European Union and refused to take unilateral action to pass the Occupied Territories Bill, to expel the Israeli ambassador, to suspend all arms sale and indeed, I would say, all trade and impose sanctions, as, let's remember, this country did against apartheid South Africa because of the Dunstores workers' strike.
Realistically, what you're suggesting there is that Ireland should implement legislation that is not legal within Europe.
I actually think it's Europe that is in dereliction of its legal obligations.
I know that's what you think, but if the AG says that this is not legal.
But let's test it and let's see, is the European Union seriously going to take legal action against Ireland for acting against a genocide? I don't believe they would have a case. I absolutely think we should do that. We have a moral duty. I think we have a legal duty. We're facing genocide. This isn't just any crime we're talking about. We're talking about a horrific ongoing massacre of the Palestinian people.
I want to ask you, Billy Keller, just briefly before I let you go on a different issue, another record number of homeless people in Ireland today, according to the latest figures for July. 14,429 people now needing emergency accommodation. And we were speaking to Pat Green from Simon Communities a little earlier on. He was saying that he's just running out of adjectives to describe what's going on. He said every month, for 12 months of the year, they are out trying to explain how bad the situation is. And he pointed out that there's 91 billion euros spent in this country, or will be spent in this country in 2025, and 0.0034% of that will go in homelessness. Is that acceptable, do you think?
Well, it's not acceptable, and that's why the government is doing everything it can in terms of providing financial support.
Sorry, hold on. Everything it can, that's what the government is doing.
Well, no, what the government is doing is it is providing as much incentivization as is possible to ensure that we build as many houses across the country. And that is happening. We've record number of starts again this year. But we all accept that we must move quicker. But the difficulty is to actually get houses built and apartments built. And that is something that was a priority to the government in terms of the planning bill. It is the stated policy for the government to ramp up housing.
Should there be an increase, a big increase in that spend on homeless accommodation for people?
But Sarah, the difficulty here is not finance. The difficulty is the blockages in the systems in terms of the actual construction of buildings, of homes, of apartments. That is a significant challenge.
The community seems to think that more money would help.
Well, but if the houses aren't there in the first place here, I mean, we have to accept and acknowledge that there's been a huge increase in capacity over the last number of years. We have to continue on that. And I accept that 14,400 people, 4,400 children, is not acceptable. Everybody in government accepts that. But what we have to do is increase the capacity. Right. And where there is support required for emergency accommodation, obviously that must be put forward. But overall, it is just a shortage of homes, apartments.
Right.
And that is
we
are making
progress.
There.
Billy Keller, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you to Richard Boy-Barrett. We'll take a break.